Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 46 reads this way. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. We ask, Lord, for your blessing on your word, that you would empower it with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you would increase in our understanding and strengthen the faith that you've given to us about the salvation that you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the message is simply entitled, A Work of God, A Work of God. And we just want to take a short glimpse tonight into the work God desires to bring into the heart of every child of God. This is the work that he wants for us. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you love the will of God? I'm not asking you if you try to do the will of God. I ask you, do you love the will of God? I want to love the will of God, because the will of God is where great things take place in our relationship with the Lord. And here's what I want you to take notice of tonight. There's something that is happening here in the heart of Elizabeth and Mary. And they glorified the Lord, and they didn't rehearse anything, and they didn't practice anything, and they didn't try to get something right, and they didn't try hard. The Lord just took over, and things took place in their lives that glorified God and amazed them in their relationship with the Lord. Now, this is a foundational truth, really, that God wants to take place in our relationship with every believer, to experience the glory and grace of God in our lives. So I want to back up, and I want you to just look at a couple of thoughts tonight. I want to look at with haste, and then secondly, I want to look at filled with the Holy Ghost, and also I want to look at from generation to generation. So as we consider the Gospel of Luke, let me have you back up a little bit here to verse 39, and notice what it says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea. Now, what was it that caused her to go with haste? There is some news that she heard. There is some information that she had received herself. It reminds me a little bit about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And after they had met with the Lord, after they had traveled about 6 miles, I am convinced they were not planning on turning right around and going back another 6 miles to tell the disciples what had just taken place. But they went with haste because of the excitement that God brought into their lives. That is what God wants in our lives today, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's this haste that Mary is going with. Look at verse 40. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So here we're looking at this filling of the Holy Ghost. Do you think they're excited about what's going on? How much rehearsing do you think they took on this? How much practicing? How much preparation do you think they had involved on this? See, if we're not careful, we think that we've got to do so much for God, when the truth is God wants to do so much for you and I. And so here they are. Let me ask you this. Do you think they're just a little excited? May I tell you something? Listen, when the Holy Spirit came down on the church in the book of Acts, and Peter said this was that the prophet Joel spoke about. And if you read the prophet Joel, you'll not hear or see anything about talking in tongues. And they spoke in tongues, did they not? Different languages. And the cloven tongues of fire. But listen, what Peter was saying, fathom this thought. This was the same thing that took place that the prophet Joel was talking about. It was a moving of the Holy Spirit. So Peter was saying this was that, or the very same thing that was happening there is what you're seeing now, and that is men filled with the Holy Spirit and God moving amongst God's people. And so really, this is that as well. And as you look throughout the scriptures, there's a lot of this is that taking place in the life of David, in the life of Daniel. It is the moving of God amongst God's people that brings excitement and joy. So with that said, as we consider this right here, so here's the babe that leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth now is filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, did you follow that? Listen, she was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. And what I want you to think about just for a few moments here is to realize, again, I'm convinced that you and I are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And did the Holy Spirit quicken our spirit? Listen, the Holy Spirit lives within our spirit. And our soul is the outer man. The spirit and our spirit, when I say the spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and our spirit are on the inside. The outer man, our soul, our thinking, ourselves, and we can't even do this, has to step aside and allow God to lead and move like he was doing for Mary and Elizabeth, so that we can be amazed and enjoy and hear and understand everything God is wanting us to see and hear from him. And so here they are. I think they're a little bit excited. And she says, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How could she know that? Watch this, verse 43. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you see the insight that she has? Is she speaking the truth? Amen. Who taught her that? God. Well, yeah, right, the Holy Spirit, because we just read that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. So listen, she is being moved. Is she being moved by the Holy Spirit? But has the Holy Spirit done away with Elizabeth, or is Elizabeth still there? Elizabeth is still there. Her spirit is worshiping God and making these statements of truth here. And she's even awed. What is this? How is it that, in fact, look at verse 43. And whence is this to me? How did this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now let's get this picture here. Is Elizabeth older than Mary? Age has no bearing. Age has no bearing in her heart and mind. She considered it an honor for her younger cousin, right, to come to her and for her to say what great things God. Do you think anybody was concerned about who was the elder? Do you think anybody was concerned about who was boss? Do you think anybody was concerned about, do you think she was thinking about, well, you know, how many people have offended me in my life? How many people do things that I don't like? Do you think any of those thoughts were running around in their minds? Do you know why? Because God was at the very forefront. Do you know, listen, if God's people would just say, God, that you might be at the very forefront of my heart, of my mind, that I might hear from you and see you. And so as we consider, look at verse 44. And it says here, it says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. As soon as the voice was heard, things began to happen, and she was right there in the moment. Verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is Elizabeth confirming what Mary's already received. Now, do you think Mary needed those words? Absolutely, she did. And do you think Mary understood that God was moving in and through Elizabeth? Yes, these are powerful things, and that is the difference that God makes in the life of the believer. Let me ask you this question. Is God truly the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Do you really believe God wants to reveal himself in a very tangible and in a very substantial way in your life and mine? That is his witness in our lives for ourselves and to the whole world. Don't miss out on that. And lastly, I just want to consider this, because it is from generation. This promise is from generation to generation. Would that mean our generation as well? You think? Our generation? Are you sure?
Did I lose you somewhere? Are you excited about this? All right, watch. Ready? Look at verse 46. And Mary said, this is Mary speaking now. We just heard from Elizabeth. This is Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Listen. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Follow that. Listen. She said there, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That's my being. That's my being. Now, notice what she says here, verse 47. And my spirit, that's the inner man that is connected, that the Holy Spirit communicates with. Notice this. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That's where the rejoicing takes place. And then notice what she continues to say here in verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Where is this coming from? Did she rehearse this? Did she prepare for this? Did she practice this? Or did it come from the Holy Spirit? Did she need this? Yes. Do you and I need this? I want you to understand something. Listen, do you remember what they thought about the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary and his birth? They thought that he was born of fornication. That's what they accused him of. Do you think, listen, Mary doesn't know it at this point, and maybe she does to a certain degree because she's already experienced some of it, but she's going to get, and so is the Lord going to get the reproach of it, but it's going to affect Mary, right? In a different way. So notice what happens here. So she's saying that she is blessed. Verse 49 again. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. The Lord is doing this work. So many times we miss out on the Lord's working in our lives. May I tell you, every difficulty, everything that rubs you the wrong way is coming from the hand of God. One person, uh-huh. Amen? Did God not say in his word that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Is that us? All things work. See, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. May I tell you something? The discipline of the Holy Spirit in our lives is of greater value than all the good things that we think God is giving to us for him to crush the outer man, that the Holy Spirit might be able to come forth. In other words, the denying of self, to realize that every opposition that enters into your life, God is trying to get us to deny, not us to deny, he is doing a work in our lives that we might deny ourselves. In other words, that we would make no room for ourselves and not try to stand up for ourselves, but to trust, Lord, you're in control. Did Joseph do that? Absolutely. Did Daniel do that? Absolutely. And how about the three Hebrew children? They were getting ready to go into the fiery furnace. But you know what they believed? We are not. Listen, how could they do this? Listen, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow. They said, be it known unto thee, O king. And they used respect. And they basically said, you know, God can deliver us. But if not, we're not going to bow. We will burn. And did they get thrown into the fiery furnace? They did. They did, didn't they? Was God with them in the fiery furnace? God's with you and I in the fiery furnace. But many times we're trying to get out. Many times we're wanting to stand up for, that's not right. Well, listen, it's not about right and wrong. It's about God's grace. And until we're ready to say, God, I want to be that living sacrifice, and I need you to help me not to crawl off the altar. What does it mean to crawl off the altar? Every time God is cutting away at the self, at the old man, and we stand up and try to fight for ourselves, God is saying, you've got to allow me to do my work. You've got to allow me to crucify the flesh. Because can you crucify your flesh? Do you think God's wanting us to try harder? That's us doing all the work. God is wanting to crucify the flesh. Why? So that the life of Christ in you and I, as believers, can come forth. And we will have a testimony like this. Watch this. Ready? So he's done great things, she says, and holy is his name in verse 49. And his mercy is, listen, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Did you hear that? Listen, and his mercy is on them that fear him. What is the word fear? It's reverence, is it not? Listen, God, I have enough reverence for you to know that I can't, I need you, God. I want to defend myself. I want to protect myself. And I need you to basically slay the old man. I need you to show me the work that you are doing and wanting to do in my life, that I might submit to you in everything. And that I can see it coming from your hands. And so she says, this is from generation to generation. This is Mary. Verse 51, and he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them, listen, of low degree. That is them that did not think very much of themselves. Do you know why we don't surrender? We think too much of ourselves. We do. We think too much of ourselves. We don't like to admit that, but that's a lot of pride. Why, bless God, somebody do this to me, I'm going to tell you what for. Right? That's all. That stinks. That's the flesh. And God won't have any of that. And we cannot fix that. But God can. Is there anything too great for God? And until we're ready, listen to that again. Listen to what she says here. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Is that this generation? If we'll have it. If we'll have it. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he hath sent away empty. Those who thought they didn't need anything. I've got everything that I need. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. She stayed there for 3 months. Do you think they had some worship service? Amen? Do you think they were able to praise the Lord? Now, I want to show you something here, and we're not going to really go through it here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 24 through 28, you might want to put a bookmark in there. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 through 28, that's the last verse of chapter 1. And then chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you will hear Hannah doing the same thing. You will hear Hannah praising her God for giving her Samuel and blessing her and her giving Samuel back unto the Lord. Was that God's will for Miss Hannah? Yes, it was. May I tell you something? It's also God's will for you and I. Because Mary said, from generation to generation. And that's our generation. Now, we can believe ourselves can't do it. And that's the truth. We can't. We can believe all the negative things, or we can choose by faith. I may not feel like it, but by faith, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was it that defeated the children of promise when they were delivered from Israel to get overthrown in the wilderness? You know what the Bible says? Unbelief. Unbelief. How about us tonight? Do we believe that God can do a work in our lives? May I tell you something? To watch God do a work is to experience God in a very powerful way, where we will say, yes, Lord, your will in my life. But that understanding comes by experience, but must be ventured out toward the Lord with faith, believing that he will answer our prayers, that he might have his will in your life and mine. What a celebration in the life of Elizabeth and Mary. And Mary reminded us, it's from generation to generation, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the reminder that you bring to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each one here tonight and those that are unable to be here tonight, that we might seek you, Lord, in a way calling upon you to do your work in and through us, that we might surrender our will and trust you and ask you, Lord, to fulfill your will in our lives, that we might be submissive and Lord, by faith, be able to see that all the opposition that we receive and all the trials and difficulties is you working in us to break the old man, that the new man might come forward by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do a work, Lord, in the membership of Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.